This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You bitch! No idea how bad it gets.
Well, oh, Sally, I think I'll buy the flowers myself.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
Come to the cabaret.
But you're not a girl, you're a guy. And why would a guy want to marry a guy?
Do you know how happy I am that we slept together?
Oh, I feel so damn sick and dirty. I can't stand it.
Girls, let's go shopping.
We procured for him. He used us as bait.
Gonna stomp your little last season Prada shoes at me.
Let the sword range on.
You are listening to Outtakes, the home of queer cinema here on Joy 94.9. My name is Gina and I'm joined in the studio tonight with Alan.
Hi, Gina.
It's been a while for the two of us to be on air together.
Probably about 7 weeks, I think.
It has, because you went on holiday.
Because, of course, I've been flitting around the world with my mum on holidays. I've been a good little gay boy, son.
Now, how many weeks with mum on holiday?
It was 4 weeks away on holiday, but about 5 weeks together.
Did you wish you had a camera to maybe document that holiday, or is this something, make a documentary about it, perhaps?
You know, I think that would have been a good idea ahead of time. and I thought about it at some stage because, went to my first gay wedding ever on the Italian Riviera, which was the most glorious location, such a fun wedding. And at the wedding, one of the guests had their son and daughter along and it seems as if part of their daily routine for the kids is to write something in their journal, like a diary entry. And at the time, it kind of struck me that it would have been wonderful for me to do something like that on this holiday with mum. But anyway, that was the end.
So there's no documentary evidence.
No, so it was the end. It was the end of the holiday. The only documentary evidence that we have is photos and one video, and that's about it. Just as well.
Well, the reason I'm asking you if you've documented your lovely holiday with your mum is because this week on Outtakes, we're diving headfirst into the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival and spotlighting some of its great queer offerings. Melbourne Documentary Film Festival actually kicks off later this month, 19th to the 30th of July.
That's right.
Joining us on the program are local filmmakers Sam McGowan and Logan Mucha, who we know and we've interviewed before, and they've both got films screening at the festival. Now, Sam McGowan is the director of Prom Night, a new documentary that looks at youth, queerness and non-binary gender in modern Australia. And Logan's got a really different documentary that I'm really looking forward to speaking to Logan about. Logan is the director of We're All In This Together, a fresh new documentary that explores queer experience and intergenerational connectedness. So
it was a very interesting film.
It's great, isn't it?
And it was an interesting concept, a great way of doing it. It was kind of like a dramatized doco.
Yeah.
Doco without being a doco, in a sense.
Well, it kind of redefines that. It's kind of, I've seen someone describe it as a hybrid documentary, but I think I'm really looking forward to hearing what inspired Logan to tell the story that way.
Yeah,
but that's coming up later tonight. But documentary, though, I mean, we want to hear from you. What are your favourite documentaries? Message in 0427JOY949. Email us on air at joy.org.au. And they don't even have to be queer documentaries, but it was funny when we kind of sat down and said, what are some of our favourite queer documentaries? You and I kind of looked at each other blankly.
Yeah.
And then scratched our heads and go,
quick little Google search refresh our memories.
And I think we forget that there are so many queer documentaries that we've covered here, but so many
without
that we love. And I'm going to play one This actually, when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, how did I forget this? But this is actually one of my favourite queer documentaries.
Have any of you ever been standing at a pedestrian crossing when a car goes by and in it are a bunch of lads? And they lean out the window as they go by and shout, fag, and throw a milk carton at you. Now, it doesn't really hurt. I mean, after all, many ways, they're right. I am a fag. It feels oppressive. And when it really does hurt is afterwards. Because it's afterwards that then I wonder and worry and obsess over, what was it about me? I mean, what did they see in me? What was it that gave me away? I mean, to grow up in a society that is overwhelmingly and stiflingly homophobic and to somehow escape unscathed would be miraculous. So I don't hate you because you're homophobes. I actually admire you. I admire you because most of you are only a bit homophobic. But I do sometimes hate myself. I hate myself because I fucking check myself when standing at pedestrian crossings. And sometimes I hate you for doing that to me.
Now, that clip, sorry, I should have put a language warning before that clip, but that clip...
Oops, sorry. Not
but
sorry.
It's not sorry, but you know what? That's a clip from The Queen of Ireland, which is a documentary about the life of Irish drag queen Panty Bliss. And it kind of covered their take of the marriage equality survey-esque kind of thing that they went through.
Well, they actually had a referendum, and Panty Bliss was really at the forefront of that whole process and was a real figurehead for change. So,
and I remember, and the reason, you know, if we had to pick a favourite documentary, there's lots, and we're going to talk about some of them. But for me, quite a few of the clips of Panty Bliss, I remember when we were going through marriage equality here in Australia, as triggering as that is, there were some clips that when I couldn't articulate the words of how I was feeling and how my fear could be articulated, I would go to clips from this documentary.
Yeah.
And there's one particular clip, and I won't play it because it goes for far too long. I actually played it in my workplace when I wanted some of our allies to really get what I was afraid of. And every time I played that clip, people cried.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted them to cry because it's like, you're just watching this as a viewer, but this is the fear we're feeling at the moment.
Is that the clip on stage at the Bailey? Is it the Bailey Theatre?
No, this is kind of it's another clip where he's kind of out of makeup, out of drag, and just talking about the fear of if they say no and what that means.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But look, it is, we have so many powerful queer documentaries in our kind of collection, you know.
Yeah, Gina, can I say thank you for playing that clip and for reminding me of that film. It is a tremendously amazing documentary and definitely on one of my all-time, would have to be one of my all-time favourite documentaries.
And it's funny, I've not gone back
to it. And it's on a streaming service at the moment. Fantastic.
Streaming services have been very kind to us at the moment. There's so much stuff.
But that's because it's Pride Month. 50 years. It's 50 years since it's 50 years since the Stonewall riots. So 50 years. So a lot of queer content everywhere. And in fact, when I was in Europe, so many of the shops, and also in the States, so many of the shops had Pride merchandise for sale.
Did you buy any?
No, I didn't buy any because, look, you know, rainbow and pride stuff being commercialised in that way, you know, on one hand, I was thinking, you know, that's fantastic, they're supporting the community, but on the other hand, I really hated the crass commercialisation of it. Yeah. So, you know, I'm one of those. Yeah, no, so I had to sort of stand back from. But I guess we're seeing a lot of queer content at the moment on film and also on the streaming services.
Look, what's another favourite of yours of a queer doco that you've seen in the past? I've got a list of them, so...
Well, you know...
Panty's definitely your favourite,
I guess for me, I probably do watch most of my queer docos at MQFF.
Yes,
so that's kind of my real exposure to queer docos. Because really, where else are you going to see them?
Well, now on streaming services, clearly.
It's clearly on streaming services, and you'll also see it at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival. Correct. But otherwise, really, you ordinarily would only see content like that at MQFF.
Correct.
And so for me, you know, the ones that are sort of ringing loudly for me are the Tab Hunter Confidential, which was at MQFF a couple of years ago. So I'm kind of fascinated by queer Hollywood and gay Hollywood and the stories of stars or movie stars who had to suppress their sexuality and what that meant. And so I do find those interesting. And I guess probably the other docos are probably some of the more mainstream ones.
Okay.
That sort of stand out for me. And a recent, the one that really stands out for me is Super Size Me. The one about sugar. The sugar story,
yes.
Which was the Australian documentary, which is fascinating, talking about the evils of sugar.
It does, and it's a good when you're wanting to go on a health.
What about you, Gina? What are your standouts?
Look, I did study doco, not for very long, but long enough that I fell in love with things like The Fog of War and Capturing the Freemans and The Thin Blue Line, but they're really kind of serious crime-related documentaries. But I wanted to kind of look back at some of the queer ones. And again, most of them were ones that I stumbled across at MQFF. Mm. A favourite, and which also surprised the filmmaker who I interviewed in the studio, was Paul Orman's 100 Men.
Oh, yes.
So,
I remember that one.
I don't think he thought I was its audience. So 100 yep. Men is a documentary that reflects 40 years of gay history via Paul's countdown of his most memorable shags. We interviewed Paul and, it sounds a bit, kind of gross when you kind of think about it, but it's actually a really powerful documentary because it does encapsulate 40 years of history over his life and how queer culture and queer subculture and how being out in New Zealand compared to London and all over the world at different moments of time.
Mm.
So it was a really historical drama, but just,
it was
the stories of all those men. It was quite funny when I interviewed him. Okay. He was like, you're the first lesbian to ever interview. But look, I loved the history aspect of that story. Another favourite was...
But Gina, I think I remember that documentary really well, and I think what I found truly remarkable in that doco is that he was able to track down a bunch of these men years later.
There was more than 100. We know that.
I mean, seriously, when you think about, would that even be possible in today's age
of
smartphone apps? Would that be possible?
I'm surprised. Look, ancestry.com could maybe be helpful if they did a queer version of this. Another favourite, of course, has always been Mayer's Gaby Baby. Which I'm pretty sure you can still easily get.
I think so.
You should just buy a copy. But it basically follows the lives of four kids, Gus, Ebony, Matt and Graham, whose parents all happen to be, they're part of a rainbow family. And to see how those kids have... Because these kids have grown up, and I think there's actually another film coming out about one of those kind of kids who have grown up now.
Cool.
But it's lovely to kind of look back at that. And another, which reminds me a little bit, so there is a feature documentary. It's not one I saw at MQFF. It's one I kind of stumbled on in another way. We have a Melbourne filmmaker called Susie Taylor, and she made a documentary called Love in Full Colour, which was a feature-length documentary of the same-sex formal, and it looked at the experiences of 12 LGBT teens.
Oh, yes, I remember that one.
Gorgeous film.
Yes.
It's I think, quite a few years ago. So I'm hoping people can still get their hands on, but that was a feature kind of story there. And look, tonight we are going to be meeting some of the filmmakers that have got films in the local Melbourne Documentary Film Festival. We will be speaking to Sam McGowan, who has got who is the director of Prom Night, a new documentary that looks at youth and queerness and non-binary gender identity in modern Australia. And I'm hoping that the protagonist in this documentary, Billy, I hope they will be joining us. But why don't we pay some bills? Pay some bills.
Oh, good.
And there's a track when I kind of think about documentary and when I think about queer documentary, I feel like it's always part of our history or capturing a part of our history. So we'll play an appropriate song to go with that. What do you reckon, Alan?
Yeah, go for it. Fire away.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're on Joy 94.9, and this is Outtakes, and we are in the studio with Gina, and also we have a filmmaker, a documentarian, actually, who has a film at the upcoming Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, and this is Sam McGowan.
Hi.
And we have the subject of that film in the studio as well, Billy. So this film is called...
Prom Night.
Prom Night. Yes. So, Sam, I'll let you take it away and tell us about Prom Night.
Okay, so Prom Night is a documentary about Billy getting ready to go to the queer formal that Minus 18 runs every year. So we made it last year. It's kind of set in like the 3 days before Billy's like getting their hair dyed. Talking
very
about,
coolly, can I just say,
right?
That rainbow hair,
it's so like, good.
I always get nervous with. Sorry, I've just completely. I get nervous with the rainbow stuff because of the how it can sort of like bleed into the other colours. But that was a really good head shave and then colouring.
Yeah, he's a very talented hairstylist.
Yeah. What's the name of the hairdressing salon again?
His name is Unicorn Manes by Mikey, but he currently works in a nail salon called Deadly Nails in Preston.
Still doing rainbow hair, though?
Yes, yeah.
That's his thing, yeah.
Sorry, back to you, Sam.
No, that's fine. I don't remember what I was saying.
So we're talking about Billy attending the Minus 18 formal, the queer formal that they host every year.
Thank you. Yeah, so we sort of see Billy getting ready and then a bit of Billy at the formal. So Billy kind of talking about, like, what they're going through, I guess, at that time in their life. You had sort of recently come out, right, as non-binary to your family.
Yeah, that was, like, only a few months after I came out, so it was fresh.
And because I remember you mentioning how fresh this was, like the coming out of this was very fresh for you, which made me ask Sam, how did you find Billy and what made you say, right, this is the person that I want to follow on this journey onto Prom Night?
Yeah, so we got in touch with Minus 18 to try and help us find someone. And then we put out sort of a survey that Billy responded. Well, we had a few responses, including Billy. We picked Billy's because they spoke in their application sort of very eloquently about, I guess, the issues that they face and what they go through. You were 17, right?
Yes, 17? At the time.
Yeah, yeah. I thought I was really impressed. Like, I think when I was 17, I definitely would not have been able to put that stuff into words. So I was like, oh my god, like, this person sounds great. So yeah, then we met with Billy, and then we went from there.
That's fantastic.
So, Billy, can you please describe how the filmmaking process for you? Sam's here in your house interviewing you.
There's one way to be out, and then there's one way to be out on film. Like,
you know, getting ready for this formal, and just recently having come out as non-binary to your parents, and your parents are going through that process themselves. So, please tell us about the experience.
It was overwhelming but very fun. I was very, very lucky. My parents have been very supportive and loving, so it was really interesting seeing all the cameras in the house and seeing how they reacted to me, like, being really out. But yeah, it was really fun experience. I loved it.
And did that have an impact on your relationship with your parents? Did you find that this was an aid?
Yeah, I think they really got to get more of an insight into what was happening, and they understood a bit more, and I think they liked learning.
So this is what was happening with you, or in the broader community?
A mix of both, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
There is, because your parents are interviewed as part of this documentary, and there are moments when Mum mucks up with the language, and you can see her trying to correct herself. You can see Mum trying to correct herself. How was Mum asking, can I do a redo, reshoot, stop? Or was it something they were okay with? Billy, how did you see? Were you in the room when Mum was being interviewed?
I was kind of in and out of the room, but mainly out just to keep the area quiet.
Yeah.
But I did hear a bit of it. And it was weird.
weird in the sense of misusing the wrong pronouns. Is that what you mean by weird, or just weird that your mother was having such an in-depth conversation with someone who's not wasn't you or a family member?
Yeah, it was really weird seeing her talk about me and just hearing her thoughts being conveyed to someone else. And, yeah, seeing that.
Now you've got it on footage forever.
Yeah, forever.
Well, you know, I would just like to say that I thought your parents were wonderful gorgeous. In this film. Absolutely gorgeous. And you know, seeing both your mom and your dad make such a real effort to connect and to support you, I thought that was just an amazing thing to see. So I thought that you were very lucky in that sense.
Yes, I love them a lot. I am very lucky.
And for me, I mean, I'm a parent myself. I mean, yes, I'm a rainbow parent, but yeah. It's really important to see those positive parenting stories, because quite often the messages that we get out there are our parents are going to be crap about whatever part of our journey we're going to go through. So I think it's actually paramount to get those really positive experiences. And sometimes, yeah, as they're coming along with us on their journey, while this is still new for them, we might have known something all of our lives, that they're trying to correct the language and doing their effort to try and get there.
Yeah,
they're not always there, but they're getting there.
Yeah.
Sam, how's this experience been for you, though? Kind of, this is a really intimate portrayal of a really... This was your first prom, wasn't it,
yeah,
Billy?
Yeah, it was.
You had a big responsibility there. No pressure.
I know. I mean, it was very... I guess we had a lot to think about going into making this documentary, working with people who are underage, who are queer, who are very, you know, vulnerable members of the community. There was a lot to consider, and also being like the first time we've made a documentary, we're kind of like, you know, some points we were like, oh my God, like, what have we gotten ourselves into? But I mean, in the end, I think we did pretty well, and I guess kind of, it was a difficult, I guess, time. To figure everything out, but I'm glad we did, because I'm quite proud of the film, and I think it was worth doing to sort of bring Billy's story to life, really.
Billy, sorry, Sam, and I guess this sort of impacts you both, really, because I thought you were able to evoke or elicit from Billy's mum the comment that that Billy's mum felt that she had lost Billy for about 6 years, and I would say that that's a very powerful, that she had lost Billy but now feels like that she has Billy back. And I would say that that would be, you know, that's such a powerful thing for a mother to say, and it's a powerful thing for someone to hear. And I just wanted to know how that came about, and, you know, what were your thoughts and feelings around that particular element of the film?
Who's going first? I can go if you want. I don't know. For me, I mean, Billy's mum was so open about everything, and you know, I mean, even just welcoming us into their home, like, she was amazing with that. I mean, her interview was very, very emotional, and I guess we spent a lot of time sort of building trust and you know, creating that space where she could talk. I don't know. For me, I really enjoyed that conversation, because I think the side of the parents isn't... I mean, this is being from my experience, but when I sort of came out, I didn't think really about my mum's side of things for a long time.
Yeah.
And then when I did think about it, I was like, oh my God, like, she was actually going through a lot as well, but I was kind of in my own space. I never thought about that. So for her to share that, I think, was really important for the film. Yeah. What about you, Billy?
It was a little painful hearing that, honestly, and hearing how it affected her. But it was good to hear it, because it was a really honest thing to say, and it really, I think, brought us closer.
Yeah. For sure. And so, you know, it was painful, but do you feel that you had a better understanding of who your mother is and what she has been through over that period of time?
It was really eye-opening and good.
Yeah.
So, being in front of the camera Are we thinking, Billy, maybe another film down the track?
Or sequel?
Are you happy being in front of the camera? Or is this... Because I quite find most people who do this end up quite often working behind the camera making other films again. How was this experience for you?
It was really cool because I did learn a lot. And, like, I did do another interview on camera for something completely separate. And... they just kept complimenting me and saying, oh, you're so prepared, you know all these things. I was like, yeah, I've got the experience. Yeah, so, thanks to Sam.
There's a reason I'm behind a microphone with no audience.
Yeah.
It's just a completely different experience. Now, Sam, this documentary, it is this its premiere at Melbourne Documentary Film Festival?
No.
Is this the first time we're seeing it?
It's the second time. It did play at Melbourne Queer Film Festival a few months ago.
Oh,
yes.
I heard there was another film playing at Melbourne Film Festival before every single film.
Something about fuming.
Tell us a little
smoking,
bit about this,
yeah.
Sam. Yeah. That was huge.
Wow,
well
thank
done.
You for bringing that up. Melbourne Queer Runners competition, I guess it was.
Keep the vibe alive.
Yes. Yeah. So they asked for submissions for filmmakers to create an ad, I guess, showing how smoking can kind of kill the vibe in situations and to have it sort of be targeted towards the queer community. So I entered that and I won with another film. Millie also won. So then, yeah, our films were showed at the start of every session. A cute little 60-second. Yeah, it was great. It was really exciting experience.
As an emerging filmmaker, to have access to that big of audience.
Yeah, it was
over those weeks. That's.
It was good. It was kind of scary, like, sitting in the cinema, seeing these films, and then I kind of was expecting someone to be like, oh, my God, that was awful, or, like, someone to say something, but that didn't happen, so awesome. That was fine.
Did you ever forget, like, because we see so many films at MQFF, did you ever forget, oh, my God, that's my film?
No. I'm like, oh, my God, it's coming up. Like, yeah. Oh, my God.
So every time you're sitting on the edge of your seat, is that it?
Sweating, yeah.
Now, how was the reception of prom night at MQFF? Because this is, you know, MQFF is really our people in a cinema. And Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, yes, it's got a broad audience. But how did it feel seeing it premiere there?
For me, it was the dream, kind of. Like, yeah. That was the festival that I've always wanted to be in. When I made the film, I kind of quietly hoped that, like, you know, this is the festival I want it to be at. It was very unreal for me. Like, I've wanted to be in that festival since I was, like, a kid. Because that, you know, when I was 15, like, I would go to these shorts and watch them. And that was, yeah, a big deal for me, sort of feeling less alone watching these shorts. So then for one of my films to be there, that was crazy.
It's huge.
Yeah. Billy?
It was kind of surreal because that was the first time I'd seen it in, like, a year.
Oh, wow.
Then be in an audience with all these people watching me a year ago. It was really odd, but it was really beautiful because, like, after the film, lots of people were coming up to me and, like, talking to me and
going, hey, that was you.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, talking to my parents as well and saying, oh, wow, that was cool. And, yeah, so it's really lovely.
That's a gorgeous experience.
Great. Yeah. Hey, Billy, I want to know, do you still have the rainbow Doc Martens?
I hope so.
Did you wear them for us tonight in honor of...
Let's just say yes, it's radio.
Yeah. Say yes. Yes, you're
look
lifting,
great.
Lifting them up.
Well, audiences have a chance to go and see Prom Night again. It is showing at Backlot Cinemas at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, 22nd of July, 8:30 p.m. We hope it keeps screening at some of our local festivals, but just go and see it. It's part of the LGBTQ shorts. Sam, thank you.
Thank you.
I'm
so
looking
much.
Forward to seeing what the next project's going to be.
And what is next, Sam?
Yeah,
what have you got?
Next?
What have
what's
you got
well,
in the pipeline?
I'll give you the logline. Well, at the moment, I'm writing a film that will not come out for a year. But it's about a teenager who is trying to lose their virginity before midnight on New Year's Eve. It's a queer film again. So.
We've all been there.
That yes. sounds fantastic.
That's what I was doing. Recently.
It's not a documentary. Not this time.
I think most people are looking for a snog first, but I'm definitely
raise the stakes.
Is it rom-com? Yeah. Are we going? What's the genre?
Sort of. Yeah. Yeah. Little bit. Kind of coming of age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. It's, hopefully there's a happy ending at midnight.
Yeah, we'll you know, I'm sure it'll go off with a bang.
Oh,
very nice.
That's a terrible tagline. Billy, we won't subject you to that either. But thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for putting your story out there. It, you know, I hope people realise how important it is to share your story on the big screen. And again, coming, you know, you might think you're talking to a younger audience at your age because it's a minus 18 kind of inspired film, but parents will look at this and go, that's how you get it right.
And also older members of the queer community as well.
Yeah.
Who may not have been exposed to, I guess, a lot of trans issues and non-binary issues in their days. I know for me, I wasn't in my youth. So it's really important that stories of our community are told now, that the whole community can understand and be a part of. So yeah, well done. I thought it was great stuff from you both. Well
Thank
done.
You.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
You are listening to Outtakes here on Joy 94.9. I almost forgot where we were.
Do you know who you are? Does that happen to you sometimes where you just forget sometimes. Who you are, where you are and what you're doing?
Maybe on my cold and flu medication. Yeah.
It happens to me all the time, sadly.
Well, tonight I have medicated.
But you're medicated. You've self-medicated, Gina.
I have.
You're admitting
a
that on air.
No, but legally.
We'll get some help for you afterwards. That's okay.
Clearly.
Not a problem.
But my issues are not the things we're here to discuss tonight.
No, we talk about that off air.
We have an amazing filmmaker here in the studio.
Who?
Oh,
you?
Fabulous
Gina?
Fabulous
are we talking about? Are you talking about yourself again, Gina?
No, I'm not, because I haven't even crossed that line. Logan.
Who have we got, Gina?
Logan Mucha.
Muka.
I like saying Mucha.
Mucha.
Muchiska.
Yeah, I like it. Sounds very exotic, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sounds very Spanish.
But your work is exotic, and your current documentary that's going to be screening at the Melbourne Documentary Film Festival, We're All In This Together, is that. It is, how would you describe it to an audience? Because it's kind of a hybrid doco, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a weird one. So it's taking Melbourne's history and then giving it to young people to then perform. So it's a way for young people to look at the stories that have come from, you know, queer people in the community before us, but doing it in a different way. So instead of just having your usual talking heads.
Correct.
Which I know is obviously, you know, it's very important, but for a lot of young people, talking heads are a bit of a turnoff in documentary. So I thought to get young people interested in this, in queer stories in queer history in Melbourne, I'd bring in a bunch of young queer actors to then perform these interviews.
Wow, I've just got goosebumps listening to that because I just think that is an incredibly powerful idea.
Thank you.
I really do. I think it's a really novel, incredibly powerful idea. And I want to know, what are you getting that connection and response from younger audiences as a result of that?
Because I was feeling that.
Well, we have, twofold. One for in the film itself. So the way the film works, I interviewed five people about five different stories in Melbourne's queer history. Those interviews were then turned into short scripts. And then young people from Melbourne's queer community were then invited to audition for the roles. And so first of all, like the young people that came in to audition for the roles were quite interesting. A lot of them didn't know about a lot of the stories that had happened.
One talks about this. He talks about the Tasty Raid and not knowing anything about it, which like blew my head off when I was like, oh, how can you not? And then I'm like, oh my God, you're probably 25. It's 25
Some
years
people wouldn't know,
since
yeah.
this happened. Mm-hmm. And for me, and I've mentioned to Alan before, I should have been there that evening. And I had a moment where, you know, that sliding doors moment in your life where I should have been there. I was there the week before. Thank God I wasn't there because I wasn't 18 at the time, and wasn't openly out. And I just think what would my life
because
have
essentially
been?
What it was, there was a police raid at this gay club.
Yes.
There was about 493 people were strip searched. Yes. They were actually forced to strip off everything.
Well, there weren't even enough female police officers at the time. They had to bring in more female officers.
And there was a cavity search done
as well.
So incredibly invasive.
Mm.
It's a bewildering experience.
There's so many people who've kind of gone through that, and for it to be still so relatively unknown. Well, not unknown, I suppose. I think it's a very generational thing. Yeah. I think just younger people... this is why one of the reasons I wanted to make the film was that so many people in our generation didn't know much about it. And I know I only knew about it just because I've had somebody that went through it, who becomes a story, whose story I took from for the film.
Mm.
But had I not known him, I probably wouldn't have known much either. Yeah.
That's it, isn't it? That's it. That's the
lesson
importance
for me as much as it is for the young
of documentaries is to actually document our history so that it's not lost. And I think that comes across very clearly in your film, that it's important that these stories are told and recorded so that we actually do know who we are and where we've come from. And as you say, respecting our elders.
I was really also excited in the way that, like, it, we sort of meet the actors at the beginning, and we figure out very quickly these are actors about to read a script or about to read something.
Are you sure? I didn't.
Didn't you?
No, I think I missed that. I think I must have just, you know, there was that one of those vague moments again. You know?
You blinked during the opening title card. Yeah.
And then they start performing, though, the pieces, but we come back to them kind of reflecting on the pieces. I thought that was very powerful. But for me, the most powerful moment was the story of the Ugandan woman. Yes. And we first see her and we see the back of her and she's facing the window, and at an appropriate time you make us face her truth.
Yep.
How did you kind of consider that framing? Because you didn't leave us then.
No, that was really beautiful. So this story, so there's five stories, and four of them are historic, and one of them is a contemporary story about someone I know, a young Ugandan asylum seeker who was subjected to a very horrible sexual assault in Uganda after they passed those horrible religious laws there, you know, came seeking asylum here in Melbourne right now.
Yeah.
So this story, we had this wonderful young actor then, Simon, who came and performed it, who was not actually an actor, just connected to the story and just thought it was a very important story to tell. And so she just took it on, which was amazing, you know, a little bit of performance coaching, but she just nailed that performance. But it was just... this story, you know, obviously takes you through something so horrific, and I think what I wanted to do with the film is to show that there are still issues happening today, especially, I think, in a lot of queer asylum seekers, a lot of people we turn our back to in the community. And so literally, I think, you know, not very subtly, we actually start with this film, this character has our back to us, as if you could almost ignore it, but it's only when you kind of hear this horrible account of what happened is when I get it to face the camera. So I kind of, like, tried to hide that from everyone for a while.
It was incredibly powerful when, and it is, you're facing this truth that none of us want to listen to, and you just can't turn
and
them around
have
again.
Somebody sitting there looking at you down the barrel of the camera.
Like really close, beautiful kind of,
I also found the story of the nurse who had been nursing HIV AIDS victims.
Yeah, Lizzie.
During the epidemic, and she's in a church with people sitting around her. And, you know, I thought that was interesting. I wasn't quite sure what that represented, but I thought the story itself and how it was portrayed was incredibly powerful as well.
Yeah, so it's interesting to doing one of the stories, obviously, about the HIV/AIDS epidemic. I feel we've heard a lot about it from the male point of view. Yes. I think there was quite interesting to know that about the nurses, the lesbians and females that were, you know, nurses that were there supporting all the men. And this particular story, just because I went doing this thinking, oh, five stories, I can fit that into a 10-minute short film real easy, ballooned out to like 17 minutes, and there was just so much about Lizzie's backstory and Lizzie's life. She's the most beautiful human, one of the most beautiful people I've ever met, but she had this whole story about being part of the church and kind of dealing that and how that, you know, fought against her sexuality. But we never really talk about her sexuality in the film. It's all about her dealing with the AIDS crisis. So I wanted to nod a little bit to her backstory by kind of presenting that story in the church, which also speaks a lot to, about the people we lost. And there's like people kind of coming and going in the background, coming and kind of praying silently and leaving. So that was just like a little nod to her backstory. And also it looks, it's very visual, which is nice. Yeah.
You just kind of answered a little bit. One of the questions I was going to ask you is, because when I was listening to this, I was like, okay, this feels very kind of conversational, very scripted, but scripted as in, this sounds so authentic from the people that told the story. How was it that you interviewed and maybe recorded the... Because how do you get people to tell
such unique, and especially Sally's story that gets retold. I was curious to go, how do you get these people to tell their story? And how do you then get them to trust you to pass it on to somebody else to tell?
Well, that was a big, that was the biggest process of this whole film, really. Was I set off to do this project, and I had wonderful help from Australian Lesbian and Gay Archives, and I thought I was going to find these magnificent first-person written accounts of stories through history.
They don't exist.
They don't exist. No. And I was like, okay, I found the stories I want to tell. So then just through people I've met and through friends of friends and just through the community, there was certain people I kind of found and wanted to interview, but obviously a lot of them not knowing me, and for me, obviously what I do is a very personal thing. Like all these people, I sat down for about 3 to 4 hours of each, and pretty much, you know, it's like I come to your house, I tell you, tell me everything about your life, you know, the hardest.
And I'm going to cherry pick something from them.
Take little bits of that. And so building that relationship takes a long time. You have to go meet people a lot beforehand. And then obviously it's about your intentions. And a few of them, bless them, they still couldn't quite grasp the film until they saw it, for me coming saying, I'm interviewing you, and then somebody else is going to do your interview. And they're like, I don't quite understand, but, you know, and that's why, you know, even the film opens with some of these statements, which is like, what are you going to do with this documentary? I just need to know what you're going to do with it. So there's a lot of these kind of little bits and pieces I've taken from the interviews. I'm kind of weave them through, because I think it's interesting how people kind of reacted to me. Saying that, do you trust me with your stories to give them to someone else? But in the end, it was, I'm glad they all trusted me, because when they all came and saw the film and they met, some of them had the chance, a few of the actors have been off flying around the world being amazing, but some of them were able to meet their counterparts, and everyone who saw their actors, you know, their counterparts on screen were just so blown away by them.
And was that the first time they were seeing the film with maybe the actor there together watching this film?
Yeah, so on the opening night, we managed to have a couple pairs of actors and people from the film kind of pair up, and that was beautiful. And then at Melbourne Queer Film Festival, we had a couple more. So it was just kind of slowly being able to see these people kind of meet up with each other. But everyone kind of sat there, all the people, participants of the story, were just, I think it was for them to see their story. You know, if you have a personal story, you just don't, it's not the same as if you tell it and you see it on the screen, you know, it's always that like, oh. But to see somebody else take your words and turn it into something, you know, perform them, I think was just quite moving for people to kind of realize the importance of their story. And I think I wasn't prepared for how moved all these people were going to be. I was anxious.
Yeah.
I was just sitting there trembling, going, oh God, are they going to hate it, what I've done? And some of them just sat there and watched it play over about 3 or 4 times over till they came back to me and were like, you did it. I was like,
you know.
Would be. There's a lot of trust that's built up there.
I mean, the actors were amazing. Yes. And I think there were a couple of shots there where you could actually see that actors overcome with genuine emotion. And I think, you know, I think that obviously wasn't scripted.
No.
You left those elements in the film so that we could actually see how these young people were connecting with the stories from their elders.
Yeah, it's like we had this one story about this wonderful trans advocate, Sally Conning, who I love, who was played by this wonderful performer, Jordan Revelle.
We are so going to... I really hope we see more from Jordan. Is it Jordan?
Jordan, yeah. Oh, my God. So Jordan's also is not really much... has only just recently gone into acting. They're a circus performer and a contortionist.
This is like them new to acting.
New to acting, yeah. So they've got a background in circus and cabaret and performing. Yeah. This is gorgeous. And they were and so they, you know, have this kind of, you know, grown up trans and kind of having this experience, and they kind of talked about growing up in the Maroubra and just the shit they're going to go through there, you know. And so suddenly hearing these stories that somebody else had kind of gone through same thing, if not worse, you know, 40, 50 years ago, 60 years ago, it was just, to shoot these scenes and all of a sudden, you know, they kind of move to tears or it was quite special. I just, because a lot of these stories I can't identify with. Yeah. They're not my, I have nothing I can associate with. But to find these actors who found something in them that connected with them was also quite beautiful for me to see that there are these kind of connections between people of generations. Like things might have changed, but still we're kind of intrinsically going through the same things.
That's right.
Yeah, having the same fights.
I kind of, and this is the thing I do with storytelling, I try to force myself not to do the expected. I was expecting that we'd then see images of the actors and the people coming together, and I'm kind of glad almost we didn't. We just saw a list of names. Was that a temptation?
It was a temptation. It felt too. It felt easy.
It felt easy,
and I felt that I ended on that, that would have been the takeaway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas I wanted the takeaway to be that kind of last line. It's just like, you know, it's which is pretty much it's not real, but like it's just the last line kind of sums up the film, and I was tempted to kind of have the shots of everyone coming together, but I thought that would detract from the message of the film. Yeah, like I didn't want the artifice of the filmmaking to be the takeaway. Yes. I wanted the message.
And I think you absolutely succeeded by that restraint. That restraint is really difficult in filmmaking because it does feel like that natural step. Like, were you thinking you were going to see the people there on screen?
No, because I must have been having another bag, maybe, Gina.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.